You can't say that.
That's outrageous.
Welcome to the Underground Podcast. I'm Kate, the gardener guru, horticultural consultant, and writer and presenter on all things gardening.
And I'm Phil, co-founder of Right O'Bara, a creative marketing agency for the home and garden sectors. Join us in conversation with those people shaping the UK's garden care industry.
So without further ado,
let's get down and dirty. Hi there, Kate.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much. How are you?
Yeah, no, I'm not bad. I'm still lingering with the lurgy, which I'm sure I got from our hobnobbing up at the Garden Media Guild Award last week. Now I'm a country bumpkin down in deepest Devon. I think going up to that there London, it's just not good for me. Or just meeting people. I'm too used to plants.
No, absolutely. So, Kate, why don't we have a little chat about what's happening in the horticultural news at the moment?
Well, the news is that there's no more news on the peat ban.
Right.
Obviously, that was talked about. So there's still no date, but I do know that actually, as we speak today, there's a massive conference going on up at Wisley, RHS okay. Wisley today. Quite a few of our people that we've interviewed, like Steve Harper, are going to be there. I couldn't make it, unfortunately. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, hopefully more and more information and, you know, good research about how important it is to be peat free will be taken out of there. But it sounds like, you know, things are being taken seriously, but we've just got to keep waiting.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting, as I know there was a horticultural reception held at Parliament yesterday as well.
I know, it's brilliant that hopefully it means they're finally taking horticulture seriously. And what is great for us is that there were a friend of the show, Lee Connolly, Skinny Jean Gardener, was there, along Fantastic. With Boyd Douglas Davis, Green Fingers, Kate Evans, Jima, and also the patrons of Green Fingers, who are massive keen gardeners, which is Jim Carter and Imelda Staunton. So really top actors there. So hopefully, you know, the right people will be listening. And also David Dominey, who was the host for the Garden Media Guild. So, you know, a real good bunch of people there. So let's hope things keep moving and they realise how important horticulture is to not just, you know, people, but to the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. And so moving on to what we're going to be talking about this week. As you know, Kate, I am a big business fan. I like learning about businesses,
and you do indeed.
And so I've been really fascinated by all the different types of businesses you get within the horticultural sector. So, you know, you've got big businesses, you've got little businesses, your challenger brands, you've got
traditional family businesses that have been around for 400 years.
Exactly. I mean, just, you know, you name it, it's in the garden sector.
Absolutely.
And I find that absolutely fascinating. So this week, we're going to be talking to Nigel Thompson from SipCam to discover what it's like to work within a challenger brand.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, SipCam, they are small, but they're certainly mighty because they've been winning awards left, right and centre, haven't they, for their new for a lot of their products. So, yeah, it'd be quite interesting to find out what makes them tick and kind of how I think we've said every time we meet them, the whole team seem really lovely. And that's not just kind of saying it. So we're going to delve a bit into the company culture about how kind of it kind of keeps everybody just working together and seemingly happy as a team.
No, absolutely. So I think let's dig in, shall we?
Absolutely.
So we're delighted to welcome Nigel Thompson, the Sales and Marketing Director from SipCam, onto the show today. Welcome, Nigel.
Hi, Nigel.
Good afternoon, guys. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, great. Great to see you.
No problem at all. Yeah. Perhaps we could start by you giving us a little bit of background about the SipCam business.
Yeah, happy to do that. So SipCam is quite a large concern around the world, although a lot of people may not have heard of SipCam. And its roots, no pun intended, are in agriculture, agricultural chemicals for agriculture, agrichem as we call it. And from there, we've spun off into consumer gardening. So helping farmers on one hand has become helping, if you like, Johnny and Jenny with their gardens and their homes. So that's who we are.
Okay.
Where does the name SipCam come from, Nigel?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you're going to have to now excuse my broken English Italian, because it's an Italian acronym for Society Industrial Production of Chemicals Agricultural Milano. So that's a hybrid, really bad version of what it really is. But that's okay. Kind of, yeah, that's the acronym. Family owned business as well. Third generation, still family owned as well.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'll stick to SIPCAM if that's okay.
And how long have you been around in the UK?
We started this business. It was launched officially in 2016 at Glee 2016.
Oh, wow.
So that's eight years ago, isn't it? And I joined in 2018, a couple of years after that.
Oh, gosh, you've been there a while then. So you're talking about it being a kind of global business, and you got this Italian connection. Are any of the products developed in the UK?
Yeah, most of what we do happens in the UK. The farming business has a number of brands that it owns. SIPCAM owns a number of brands that farmers, I've met a few farmers, and said to them, have you heard of SIPCAM? And they've said yes. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. But we tend to work with brands that we've, number one, developed ourselves and own. So literally created from the ground up in terms of name, right, and proposition, etc., that we now own as a business. So at the minute, most of what we do is, apart from two brands, is just UK only, and has originated and developed, right, is manufactured in the UK.
Okay, so you manufacture. So efficacy is kind of the buzzword, I think, these days, especially with the more natural products that are around. How do you go about testing the products with SIPCAM?
Yeah, we do that in a number of ways. We partner with university, so people like Harper Adams. We did some work on some trials with them. Tomato feed many years ago. So we use people like that.
Yeah.
We also actually work very closely with our sister company. We're SIPCAM Home and Garden. The ad guys are SIPCAM UK. So they do a lot of field trials of working with agronomists and living in that world. Got right. access to really good trials that we can do on products. And the third and most amusing part of the answer to that question, Kate, is we do some stuff in-house. So yesterday I witnessed in our offices in Derby, we were just doing some other trials for video of our new Slug Stopper products. We had three lanes in a cardboard box. It was like a raised bed plant.
Love it.
Where we had treated with different products and untreated in the middle. So we do some very rudimentary in-house amusing tests. But where we put the credence is either with the universities or through accredited people through our ag business.
Right. Okay. Well, Phil and I, we absolutely know that one. Having done some filming for Slug products, we've done that exact same type of trial with a raised bed, haven't we, Phil?
I was the slug wrangler.
Were you?
Getting up early in the morning to go and find slugs to use.
Yeah. We coined a phrase, or rehashed a phrase yesterday. That's never worked with animals, children's or slugs, we discovered yesterday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we certainly found that, didn't we?
Yeah. So I think it's fair to say that SIPCAM isn't one of the big boys in the market.
Yet.
What does it mean to yet? Yes, that's good. Well done. What does it mean to be a challenger brand in the garden sector?
Yeah, good question, Phil. It's actually quite exciting, I think. I am most of my previous working life in horticulture. It's fair to say that, yeah, I was in a market leader. So I work for Stuart Plastics, now known as Ketter. And when I was there, yeah, we were really market leaders in pots and planters and had most of the market share. So
definitely.
I'm starting that share where you're defending your market share, and it's a bit more about retention. And sitting in this chair right at the start was about who was SIPCAM, how'd you pronounce it, how'd you say it, what does it stand for?
Yeah.
Really, it's like breaking through ice initially. I'll be honest with you. Then you make a breakthrough, and then you find it becomes a little easier, and there's awareness of that. But it's actually quite exciting, I think, because it's the first time for a long time I've sat in that seat of being a challenger brand, to use your phrase.
Right.
And, you know, we're up against some really well-known brands that advertise on the television between Coronation Street that everybody knows.
Absolutely.
But it's fun, actually, because I think you get a little more, in the nicest sense, a little more feisty and a little more... sort of convinced, enough conviction around who you are and who you want to be. You're a bit more agile, you're a bit more flexible, and you need to sometimes find the spaces and find a little bit of space to be there, to prove yourself. So I quite like being the, I wouldn't say the underdog, but somebody said last year, not this year, when we won the GEMA sword, it's good to see one of the smaller boys kind of, you know, doing this and disrupting the others. So I thought that was quite a nice, nice compliment. There's room for everybody and there's room for us all, but it's good fun is what I would say.
All right. Good to hear.
Do you see yourselves as a disruptor in the marketplace? Is that how you would describe yourselves?
I think in part we do, because I think sometimes disruptors can be seen as, the perception could be a negative one, that you're agitating the wrong way. But I think in terms of doing something different, and we set out that way to have a unique personality, a unique voice, a unique proposition in terms of product, have some quirkiness, because I think every business has a personality, whether they recognize it or not, every business has a personality. And I'm always kind of aware of that and talk to our guys and we talk about that. So little things like turning up at Glee with t-shirts and chinos on years ago, a lot of people say, no, you're not here to work, Nigel, and things like that. So you might say that is, you know, is disruption, whereas some of our competitors might choose to wear suits or formal attire on the Glee stand. So I just think, I think we are probably something of a disruptor, Phil. I'm lacking another word to describe what that might be. We're very keen to have our own unique voice, our own unique personality.
Yeah. So we've talked about the challenges. What about the opportunities that kind of a younger challenger brand has for innovation? And you talked about wearing t-shirts and chinos. Do you have any other approaches to your sales and marketing generally?
We do, yeah. I mean, in terms of the environment, how we work, yeah, we do. But things like in our NPD process, we say everybody's entitled to a voice. Right. Everybody's entitled to an opinion. And there's no such thing as a bad idea. So when we're going through what we call the idea stage in NPD, anybody can bring anything to the table. Nothing dismissed. And we all input into that. I'll be honest, sometimes that can be a challenge, because you'll know, Kate, and you'll know, Phil, if you do marketing and anything by committee almost, you have to manage that process really, really well. So it's great saying what I've said, but equally, there has to be some protocols and process and some disciplines in place. But everybody's a voice. We work as a team. We consult externally. Okay. We've done research outside of the business. We talk to people. We're not frightened to involve customers and partners in our decisions. So I've got to give credit to some of our customers for our NPD process, as well as our sales and marketing. So yeah, I think we do. And we look at it and look at a product that a consumer likes and think, how could we do that differently, but with some purpose, not just differently for the sake of it. So everybody sells a tomato feed in red bottles or red packaging. We have had those conversations. Why doesn't somebody do it in orange or purple or pink or whatever? Sometimes you think, well, that might just confuse the consumer. But I think we're never afraid to ask those questions of what could be, or could it be this? Why does it have to be? Why is it always being like that?
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So are your hands tied at all by the kind of more the global company, or basically do the decisions kind of stop with you, UK?
Yeah, today most of what we've done has come out of the UK. So we're part now of, in Sipcon Home and Garden, of a European group. So we collaborate a lot more than ever before. And we would love to do innovation together. So we try to identify what are the commonalities across the territories. Could we work on NPD together rather than in pockets? But at the moment, most of what we do is unique to the UK, and we share it with our European counterparts to say, this works here. But as you know, what might be outside of registration legislation in the UK be the same in Spain, Italy, France.
Absolutely.
Germany. So you've always got those nuances that are in play. Yeah.
So let's look at some really good news. So Sipcam has been recognised with some really impressive awards, and not just this year, last year as well. So share a little bit about those with us and what they mean to you and to your team.
Yeah, that's, again, a really good question, and a question I'm really glad you've asked. And it sounds like a cliche, but, you know, they mean the world to us, honestly. And so we won the Sword of Excellence at the GEMA in 2023. And there were three of us from Sipcam Home and Garden of the business at the GEMAs, I'm sorry. And it completely took us by surprise. I was kind of, what felt like 5 minutes was lost for words. It was probably 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And it was just euphoria to be recognized by your peers, by your industry.
Yeah.
In what we would say is the equivalent for us, let's be honest, of an Oscar in our industry to win that award and things like the Glee Awards.
It's kind of best film, isn't it? Rather than just kind of best actor, best actress, it's kind of the best film, because the Sword of Excellence is the best product overall. Is that right?
It is, yeah. It's the winner of the winners if of all the categories go forward. And there's a couple of like overarching awards, and that's the one. So
yeah,
we won it last year and it's been on our wall. And we handed it back about last week and went again last Thursday. And we took the whole team. This is a bit of a risk. We took actually 12 people. We brought some people that are working with the business as well. And most of the people were able to make the event. So to be on the table again with our colleagues, some of which are quite younger, you know, a couple of years out of apprenticeships, and to see that to some of us that are a bit more seasoned or further down the line in our working journey was just amazing. Again, I just, you know, for 48 hours, I just almost couldn't stop thinking about it in a way. And it's no exaggeration to say this to you, but those two events have absolutely been career highlights for me, because I've never been involved
Fantastic.
In personally winning a GEMA award before. So to win not one, look to wing two has been great. And actually the ones at Glee as well were amazing. Again, to be recognized for our slug stopper. We were nominated for our Glee uniform, but I've got to give kudos to Grass Gaines. They smashed it, really. I think they were sprees ahead with their and short combination, to be fair. So yeah.
That was quite scary. So what do you think it is that, I mean, apart from obviously a big backhander, what do you think sets you apart in ways that resonate with the award panels?
You can't say that.
That's outrageous.
I am completely joking. What is it that, you know, what do you think the award panel recognise and appreciate with SIPCAM?
I think one of the bits of feedback that we got was the innovation. So I think a comment was made about having a slug solution that's a spray and not a pellet or a wool or a barrier, which we do barriers. So I think the fact we've done that, the packaging, the naming of the product, we're just doing it very different. Our packaging is quite shiny. We're moving away from plastic bottles now. Yes. We've got bin the bottle, pick up a pouch. So I think the fact we look at the product and we look at the packaging, which historically we didn't do, we focused on the product and the package, we had some work to do. But I think you've got to be holistic. It's got to be product, it's got to be packaging, and it's got to tell the whole story. And I think I'm surmising, because I've not spoken to the judges about it, despite what you've insinuated. Okay. Yeah, I think they just like, you know, the fact that it is very, very different to your conventional product, conventional problem, quite a different solution we've come up with.
Because it is the slug stopper we're talking about. That was the product that got you the sort of excellence.
Yeah, and I think to be fair to us, we're very blessed in the sense that what a year to board a slug product of all the years, you know, last 30 or whatever
blame
it is.
You.
Yeah, so right time, right place. Absolutely, very blessed.
Absolutely, and I'm really not looking forward to trying it, because I wish I didn't have to try it, but I am definitely going to be having a good go with it this year, because it was a nightmare, absolute slug. It was slugageddon. So yes, your product, right product, right place, definitely.
Yeah, brilliant.
Nigel, can you just give us your take on the current landscape in the garden sector, and how you see SIPCAM fitting into that?
Yeah, I think we're at interesting times. You know, I think even in the last 24 hours, there's been news breaking about the range and the home-based brand. And you almost feel that nothing's off the table in terms of what could surprise you, what could happen, what could go on. That said, I think, particularly with garden centres in the retail sector, I think that incredibly robust retailers and individuals and teams and people, you know, survive lots of things and even flourish actually in difficult times. I've seen a few kind of recessionary periods where garden centres come out even stronger to their credit. So I think our industry is robust, but we've got a lot of challenges that we can't be blasé about, you know, economical challenges. The weather's always going to be a thing, and every year, you know, we get to the end of the year, we all pray for a good season and hope for a good season, and we get a mixed bag inevitably. You know, we never get the perfect storm, but hopefully we always get some decent spikes. And I think it's changing. I think some of the interesting things are around, for me, the core consumer in gardening. Because as a younger consumer emerges, I think their habits, their way of thinking, their value system, their ethos is very different than what has been the traditional consumer. And I think that's related as well
in
the garden centres as well, because I think we know garden centres are going to need to have buyers and staff, marketing people in place and owners that are in line with that. Because I think it will change and their buying habits are different. As I say, their value system is different. Their view on the environment and the planet might be slightly different than the core consumer. So I think watching that younger consumer move into that circle of the core consumer, if you look at it in your view, I think is a really interesting one and will provide some trust. I think online and digital is massive, and online retail is huge. We do a lot with people that are close to online rather than physical retail. Okay. And we noticed that the spike and the trend of sales is very different. So, you know, if you've got a weed problem now and you jump on, say, Amazon or eBay or any other platform, you solve that now. Whereas traditionally in garden centres, we think that happens at this period of time and you get obviously an instant response from that particular consumer. I think it's taught us a little bit about the fact that the seasons are not as boxed in as we once thought, neither.
Right.
A very simple graph that was up the mountain and down the mountain. Now it can look like for us, the last is rolling hills, actually, a couple of rolling hills rather than up the mountain and down the mountain. And I think that's quite an interesting scenario as well.
So how do you think SipCam is contributing to the positive shifts that we kind of were talking about within the garden centre and the products that you make?
Yeah, I think that's answered through what we do with the Ecofective brand. We always said it was an alternative to conventional chemicals.
Right.
So pesticide-free biostimulants are in the organic matter, natural products. I think also we talked about Slug Stopper a few times already, and I don't want to make this conversation just about that, but that's about slug control and not slug killing. We're not the only ones, to be fair, that are doing that. There's other barriers and woolen products that are out there from some really, really good suppliers. So I think there's an army of people, and there was a BBC article in the spring about hugging a slug that don't want to kill things, but want to keep them in the system. And I think the same thing goes for whether that's moss killing and weed killing. People have got a different view. I think that's one of the things with a younger consumer. I think that and the packaging as well. What impact has this packaging got on our world? What impact has this got on our planet and on our world? Is really, really important. And without polarizing the consumer, because it's never that straightforward. No. There's probably a lot of older consumers that maybe that's less of a concern, and their concern is weeds, and I want to deal with it as powerfully, as quickly, and as effectively as I can. What does that look like, you know? And that's valid because they have got valid choices to make. But I think, I just think the younger consumer does perceive and think and value very differently.
Absolutely. And I think we've seen, the peat-free debate is still raging on. I mean, that's still there, but, you know, there's not a lot of peat extraction happening in this country, and it's not going to restart, whatever people say. And I think for the younger people, where their concerns is the environment. It is about, you know, ban pesticides, what's bad for the environment. I mean, and again, like with the peat-free, the arguments are never clear cut. People don't listen. But with social media, you really have to, as a newer company, look towards that consumer, that younger eco-warrior type consumer. Otherwise, I just don't think you're going to win in this marketplace at all.
Definitely.
Just taking a step back from looking at your products, Nigel, I'd be quite interested just to talk to you for a moment about the culture within SipCam. And I was wondering whether you could describe the culture within SipCam for me, and also what the values are that you see that are embraced throughout the company.
Yes, good question, Phil. For us, culture is really important. And one of the gifts of being a newer business that we've already talked about, and a disruptor and a challenger brand and all those sorts of things, is you tend to be smaller. So Matt's the general manager, and literally dreamt some dreams a few years ago on plane journeys and various other things, traveling about what it could be like to work in. And we've both worked in more corporate settings, and both, you know, a private equity business owned by private equity. I work for family businesses. So I've had a lot of experiences, and I think we took some of those away and thought, what's the best of all those things in terms of culture? So for us, SipCam have stated values, but I think to translate those values You know, we have a flexible, a relatively flexible approach to working, which is not necessarily, I know, totally unique with family and people's personal lives. So we don't push people into the ground. So we don't have a ridiculous work ethic that demands people are there at silly o'clock and leave at silly o'clock and kill themselves or half kill themselves in the process. Yeah. Equally, while we're there, we're incredibly passionate, incredibly committed, and incredibly committed to one another and one another's job. So we have a few analogies that I don't mind sharing with you. No, so we have a basketball hoop in our netball hoop in our office in the court. And the reason we have that is one of, I conducted a kind of a well-being session. I conduct two a year. And we came back with a number of analogies. I said to the team, if sitcam was a car, what would it look like? If it was a drink, if it was a food, if it was music, what would those things look like? And we honestly described them as a team and said, okay, that's where we're at. What do we want to be like? And one of the analogies, one of my colleagues came, he said, we probably, if we were a netball team, we're all in danger of moving around the netball team and standing in each other's positions because we're all passionate. We're there. So the netball is there as a visual reminder to say, actually, you can play your biggest part mostly by staying in the space that we've given you as your job role whilst playing your part. And it's a really soft way of reminding people. And I say to the guys, look, if I'm out of my lane, you know, let me know. Equally, if I'm nowhere near you on the court and you need me, let me know. So incredibly passionate people, real sense of togetherness. One of the phrases we've been using this week is people are so passionate out of work and the WhatsApp groups are pinging. One of my colleagues, a husband, had to say to her this week, you need to calm down after the gym at war. So really excited. Multiple WhatsApp groups are pinging. So we've been throwing that phrase around quite a lot this week. So yeah, we do well-being days. I facilitate one. We'll do one at the end of the year. And we've done things like with story cards as well and ask people to pick and say, right, if there's one great thing in the business, try and get a card that tells that story. If not, just tell the story. But pick another one where perhaps we could improve or it could be better or it's a definite weakness. So we take those things away. Another thing we've got in terms of culture is the girls say, could we paint one of the walls? Our office walls are a combination of rustic brick and white. Could we have a bit of colour? So we had a painting day last year. Got some people, music on, painted the walls together. And do you know what? Painting the walls together builds the team as much as building a glee stand builds the team and builds the business. And we set out for, we want, and it's a stated claim for us, we want to be a great business to deal with, but equally, we want to be great people to deal with. We want people to walk on our stand anywhere and think, we like these guys, they're good at what they do, they know what they're doing, but they're good people. I don't like to use the word nice, but they get the job done. We can talk to them, they're honest, they're open, they're real, and I think that does transmit through what we do. So culture and cultural values, teamwork, belonging, office environment, wherever we're working from. And our new starter, Alan, has died last week, so he's on week two this week, has said.
What a really week to start.
this week he wins the award, it's culture. It's so important, isn't it? You know, when we were doing the recruitment process and we landed with Alan, I'll be honest, and if Alan never listens to this, if there was somebody that was 2 points better than Alan in terms of how we might score him, but Alan was better on culture, I would have taken being a couple of points under, getting the cultural values, somebody that I wouldn't think would be a good fit and would bring something really well. So who we work with and who works with us is really, really important to us.
That's really refreshing to hear, because on LinkedIn recently, somebody I had worked with a while ago in a big company had kind of talked about how toxic marketing and sales can be within our sector and how you have to wear so many hats and the pressure, especially with social media managing, and just how burnt out so many people are within our industry. And she's left to go freelance, and good on her. So it's really refreshing, Nigel, to hear that you're taking it seriously. It doesn't sound like you're just doing it to tick boxes, which some companies unfortunately do, but it really sounds good. And I like the idea of painting a wall together. I mean, that's great. Need to do some gardening together as well. Gardening days.
that's on our plans, Kate, before we're trying to do something with Green Fingers as a team too.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's on our
plans. Definitely.
Have you seen how that culture that you're developing within the business has affected your customer relationships as well?
Yes, we have. You know, people have picked up on picked up on this. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I still think within business relationships, you know, there's still a degree of formality with some people. So you tend to hear things third hand from other people that say to you, "Oh, yeah, somebody was talking about SIPCAM, and they said X, Y, and Z," or it's Ian that works for us, or Matt or Alan or Lydia, Leah. We get things back from other people, so you don't always get it back, back directly. And I have had a few people out there who've actually said, "Oh, it looks like a great business to work in, Nigel. If you've ever got any openings, let us know."
That's good.
Which is really good. But I'll speak to you later about that, Kate. But thanks for that message. So.
It's interesting because I was at an event yesterday, Women in Horticulture at the HTA House. And we did mention you and we did say what a lovely kind of atmosphere your table was. And I don't think that was just the free Prosecco. It just generally, everybody seemed really happy to be part of the SIPCAM team. And that was before the awards were announced. So it's definitely people are noticing that, it seems like a lovely team to work for.
Thank you.
So what's next on the horizon for SIPCAM, Nigel? What do you have your sights set on achieving?
Yeah, that's again, great question. These are guys, really good questions. I think specifically for us, we would love to grow our business in garden retailers and get really close to I want to say true garden retailers, but where the plants are happening, where people are developing their green space internally or externally, whatever size, whether that's one hanging basket, one pot, or a small one. I think for us to have our products alongside everybody else in garden retail is big. I mentioned online earlier on, it's relatively easier to enter the online space, but I think garden center space is precious and at a premium. Big brands are occupying that and have done for a long time. So
lots of long-term relationships there as well, which need to be chiseled away at, don't they?
Absolutely. So I think for us, it's that space. And one of the things, when we go into Glee, I kind of always build a story for us. What's the story that internally we're taking to Glee and we can transmit to customers, whether that's clearly or subtly, we transmit that. One of the things we talked about was simplifying what we do. So I think from our point of view, things like the slug stop are taking a step at a time to get to where we want to be rather than going like a gung-ho approach for customers. I think going sensibly, relatively slowly, but meaningfully as well, and with some sort of purpose and some edge and some reasoning to it, rather than just looking, well, you buy those 10 SKUs from that other supplier, we'll replicate those 10 and away we go. I think that it was a little bit sort of lazier for us. But garden centres is and we're getting a lot of traction at the minute. A winning award helps to get the traction.
Of course. And do you have, forgive me for asking this, do you have the supply to fit demand if that kind of all takes off?
Yeah, definitely. We can, she's all produced in the UK. And so we can upscale that and that happen sensibly and commercially, but absolutely, we're ready to go on that and plan that and build that into our, we're building growth in every single year, but if something momentous happened, then
you're ready.
We're ready for it. Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. So what's been the best reaction that you've witnessed with somebody having seen your products in action for the first time?
That's a really, really good one because we tend not to see too much with the consumer, obviously, because they take it away from the store or online and use it. What we do see is people that are kind enough to feed back and say, "I've used this product and it's amazing." And we genuinely cherish those comments. We never take them for granted. I think being a challenger brand, you do value every customer, every comment. I'm not saying other people don't, but I think at that scale, you've got the ability to do that. But a little story for you. I won't mention the retailer, but I went to see a retailer in January this year. There were two people there. I went to present one of our products, which is Block Blitz. It's a powder former patio cleaner. And one of the two ladies sat opposite me, one said, "Oh, I've used this product. It's amazing on my block bathing." And I, to be honest, I just shut up and let her sell it to her colleague in terms of the concepts and stuff. So when somebody's had such a positive experience, I don't think you will ever tire of that, or you should ever tire of that. So when we get stuff back, it's great. And we send products out to people to test, retailers. Sometimes, well, look, just test it or test our patio cleaner or block blitz on the garden center. And when you get, it's amazing, it's worked really well. It's good. I'm sorry I haven't got one moment where I bumped into somebody that said, I've been waiting to meet you, Nigel. What's happened? My roses is fantastic. That's not yet happened, but I live in hope. No.
You never know.
So yeah. Nigel, I'm going to ask you probably the trickiest question of the day. And I do want you to be honest with this one because I won't be judging you. But do you enjoy gardening yourself?
Yes, I do. I'm a dabbler. I'll be honest, I'm not an expert, even though I've worked in and around horticulture. But I do. I probably should give it more time than I do, Kate. And I think everybody says that.
As everybody in the industry, they're so busy trying to get everybody else gardening that they run out of time to enjoy it themselves, don't they?
Yeah, and I always enjoy looking at other people's gardens and never tire of being in whatever garden centre it is, seeing the plant beds at different times of year and what's going on. You just think, what a fantastic environment to be doing.
It's a great industry, isn't it? It really is, yeah.
It is, yeah. So I would put myself in the dabbling non-expert category.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Like Phil. Like yourself,
yeah,
Phil.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, then you are becoming more of an expert every day.
Every day. A little bit. Small increments. So a little bit of a fun question for you, Nigel. What's the most unusual or creative use of a garden product that you've come across?
In my previous life, when I was working and living with pots and planters, you'd saw some unusual stuff in pots and planters. I remember getting involved with a project in North Yorkshire, which was called the Flower Pot Festival in Settle in North Yorkshire.
Right.
And, the business I was with, we sponsored one of the very first ones of that. And that's grown. So you've got Star Wars characters to film stars made out of pots all around. Lovely village. So we would kind of involved in the genesis of that. I've seen lots of pots and planters used for things like water buckets, beer buckets, camping. And you look and you think, that's a 30 centimeter, whatever it is. You know, that's the Jordan, that's the Barker. I think recently the most unusual one I've seen is my colleague Matt. The slug stopper that we've talked about a few times, we used to do it in a granular formula in buckets. And his computer monitor is resting on a bucket of slug stopper in the office. So that's quite unusual. No slug control is going on, but monitor at eye height is happening for him. Yeah.
Love it. So Nigel, you said you're a dabbler, but that you love going to garden centres. But do you have a plant or a flower that would always put a smile on your face? And I don't mean a hosta that's not got any holes in it because the slug stuff has worked. But
yeah, I've got quite a few. I mean, I love aces. I've got quite a few aces in pots.
Time of year.
Yeah, love grasses as well. So there's a bit of a Japanese thing going on. That sounds like an odd, doesn't it? Do you know what? Really, I love, and my wife's the same. And it'd be the cottage garden or wildflowers. I mean, the pollinators, but just the beauty of perennials, cottage garden flowers, wildflowers. I just find that brings so much happiness when you see them, especially when you scatter the seeds and grow them yourself. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go for a cottage garden.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's brilliant. I think that just about wraps it up, Nigel. Thank you so much for your time. It's been fascinating talking to you, finding out more about SipCam and the culture within the business, but also the products that you're selling and how well you're doing at the minute. That's brilliant.
I tell you, just one thing, is there anything new, a new launch for 25 that we need to be aware of, or is that all under wraps, or are you just consolidating what you've got this year to push forward?
No, we've already started talking about it, Kate. We've already got a few ideas. So I think in the new year, that will step up in earnest in terms of that process and what that looks like, because time flies. We soon jump from January to Glee, don't we? Or from January to the season. So yeah, there's a couple of things that we're looking at that we think could be quite interesting.
Watch this space.
Watch this space. Absolutely, 100%. Okay. Thank you both. I've really, really enjoyed chatting. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the underground, sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm.
I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant, and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, the founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at writeobara.com.